namo om shivapadaya krishna prasaya bhutale shrimati bhakti vedanta swamini dinamini namaste sarasvadevam gauravani prajarine narvishesha shunyavadi pashate deshadarine shri krishna chaitanya prabho nityananda shri advaita gadadhara srivasadi gaura bhakta vrunda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, we saw these two verses yesterday, 52 and 53, in second chapter. Yadade mohakalilam buddhir veditari shadi tada gandasi nirvedam shrodavyasya shrodasyajam shudhivipradivannade Yadastasya nishchala samadhau asidau achala buddhi tada yogam avapsyasi. So, after Krishna has spoken to Arjuna about these important things, that the in the realized state, how a person will conduct himself is very difficult to say. According to one's training or one's previous practice, he will continue even in the realized state. That is why it may not be, it will be very different from one person to another. As I mentioned before, that when Arjuna asked this question, that Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistase Keshava. Isn't it? That was the question. Siddha Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistase Keshava Sthidhati Kim Prabhasheda Kimasita Vrajeta Kim. In the verse number 54. Arjuna Vacham Sthidha Prajna Sega Bhasha Samadhistase Keshava Sthidhati Kim Prabhasheda Kim Asita Vrajeta Kim. Arjuna Vacham Sthita Prajnasya Gabhasham Samadhistasya Keshavam Sthidhati Kim Prabhashedam Kim Asida Vrajedakim. Translation: Arjuna said, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak and what is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? And when these questions were raised, Arjuna asked these questions to Krishna, and Krishna did not answer any of those questions. As we saw yesterday, that in those two examples, particularly Sudarshan Brahmendra story and also the incidents with what we discussed about Tathuraya and Suruvananda Saraswati, all of them had gone beyond the intellectual stage. And beyond the intellectual stage means that they have understood that the intelligence doesn't help here. The mind doesn't help. Neither mind nor intelligence has any answer. So soul and spiritual realization is a completely different topic than what we imagine it is. So long as we are on the mental platform, so long as we are absorbed in the mind, we will be busy. Every time we will try to capture the spiritual message through the mind or through the intelligence. And that is what Krishna is saying to avoid. Krishna says here to avoid. These examples are given only to make us understand that spiritual life is completely independent. Always it's independent. Material existence, mind, body, intelligence, all are part of the material nature. Soul is part of Krishna. So we shouldn't mix up these two things and get confused over it. Because while existing within the matter, the tendency of the living entity, individual soul, is to get the understanding of the transcendence or the spiritual nature. And that is what Krishna says is not possible. Therefore, he is talking about transcending the mind, transcending the intelligence, transcending the body, transcending the senses, everything. So, as I mentioned yesterday, that there was many examples in this throughout history to see who acted which way. Another example is, there's a story about a personality who was a great pearl merchant. He used his business was selling pearls, and he made a lot of money from that. After making a lot of money, his attachment was so strong to the wealth what he has created, that he wanted his son to go in the same direction of doing business and making money. But the son had no interest at all whatsoever to engage in that activity. So one day the son was asked to go and do business, and the son came back and he left a note at home. In a box he put a needle, which was a broken needle, and a note saying that while you leave this body, you won't be able to carry even this broken needle with you. Why you are engaged in this horrific activity of this business of making money, and when will you be ever satisfied? Saying this, he left home. Patanathar was a businessman's name, and he comes, saw this message, and he had only this one son whom he very carefully has been developing as a businessman. So eventually he decided that what this message is a very strong message to him. All his attachment was towards this son. And the son has given up home and walked away from there. And that opened his eyes, and that's the day he threw away all his wealth and walked out from home himself. So these things are happening, and then after that, when this realization will come to somebody is very difficult to say. So later on, we found him that after giving up all his attachment to the wealth, family, everything, and in his sort of a realized state, he wandered around throughout the country without getting attached to anything, like Bharata Maharaj did, Sage Bharata. So he used to play with the children all the time, and that was the way he was. He had that nature in him that, yes, he saw in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that when a person makes advancement in spiritual life, one of the spiritual masters he selects is a child. And their prayer to Krishna is that, just like the child who has no attachment to anything, he plays with the toys for some time, then he throws it away and goes away from there. He doesn't get affected by that, isn't it? So similarly, the self-realized souls also, they may act as though like children in this world because they have no attachment to anything in this world. And Patanathar, sometimes children used to come and play with him. Bala Unmata Pishajavad. In the Bhagavadam, that is how it is mentioned about those personalities who have acted like that. There are many like that. Sukadeva Goswami acted like that sometime. Rishabhadev acted like that. And so many personalities in the Bhagavadam you will see like this, that they acted sometimes totally indifferent from the way the society expected them to do. It is seeing all these things that Arjuna is keeping this question to Krishna. Stita prajna sega vasha samadhista se keshava. Arjuna's question is coming from all these things. Arjuna also has these experiences that people acted indifferently from the normal, so-called normal people of this world, isn't it? People act indifferently. Seeing that, Arjuna is keeping this in mind. That is the reason why he asked that question. Samadhista se keshava, stithati kim prabhasheda kim asida vrajeta kim. Is there any specific way, because Arjuna also had the same impression, that after self-realization they are not normal people. Normal in the sense, normal like, so they don't follow the society anymore. They are totally independent. So keeping that in mind, Arjuna asked this question, Siddhati kim prabhasheda kim asida vrajeda kim. What kind of, how does he speak, and what is his language, how does he sit, and how does he walk? All these kind of things Arjuna asked because of that. So, as I mentioned before, Krishna didn't answer any of those questions, and direct answer Krishna never gave him. because this is a unconditional state. Unconditional state. For one for whom the knowledge has become already manifested in a person, it is very difficult to say anything. And also, if anything is spoken about those qualities, if say Krishna has spoken that this is how he will act externally, he could be like this, he could be like that, there is a possibility that some people may imitate that. And all these things, Krishna wanted to avoid that, therefore he didn't discuss anything which is related to the externalities. So all that is spoken, what Krishna, Arjuna is asking is all external symptoms, isn't it? And Krishna's point is, you can know about a self-realized soul only through the internal symptoms. External symptoms, it is not possible to know him. That the only thing what Krishna mentions there is, the important message is that more or less Krishna says that in general, in the presence of a self-realized soul, you will feel tremendous peace inside, a great peace inside. Because peace means there is no emotions inside, free from all kinds of emotions. And that is where the peace is coming from, without any kind of emotional feelings. That's where it is coming from. So, inside, satisfaction inside. The example given for that is that in Ramayanam, if you see, Sita Devi, after Ravana has taken Sita Devi away, Sita Devi was put into a forest where she used to sit underneath the tree. And many, many Rakshasas were sent to convert her mind, to give up attachment to Ramachandra. And Ravana wanted to marry her. And all these things you can read in the Ramayanam. So every time a Rakshasa has come, Sita Devi used to feel that vibrations very much. But when Hanuman came there, Ramayanam Valmiki says there that Sita Devi initially thought that who is this Vanara or monkey who had come and who is disturbing everything. But only when in the association of Hanuman, Sita Devi felt a great peace inside. Inside, she felt a great peaceful state. From there, Sita Devi guessed that I am feeling so peaceful from the presence of Hanuman compared to all others. So there must be that this is definitely not a Rakshasa. She comes to the conclusion like that. The closer Hanuman got closer to Sita Devi, she was feeling much more peaceful and also a kind of feeling of affection and priyam or happiness inside. So this is the only thing that you can say about the self-realized state of a person. That just like in the very extreme hot conditions, when you go into an AC room, how you feel, similar kind of feelings in as far as the mind is concerned, such a peaceful existence. When you go into the presence of a great Mahatma, immediately inside becomes completely settled down, and no more desires to, no more questions comes after that. So the idea is this, that our intention is not to test others. Our intention is not to test others. Only thing is, we want to find out how much we have advanced spiritually within ourselves. And that is the goal. And in order to test ourselves, Krishna has spoken these things. Krishna has spoken these things. And we should look at ourselves from these words of Krishna. From the words, what Krishna is going to say now further, we can look at ourselves and see where we are in this process. Earlier, if you remember, that sthita prajna sekha bhasha samadhistase keshava. There the word used is prajna, isn't it? Prajna is the word used there. Sthita prajna, prajna. Prajna is an important word in spiritual life. Prajna is an important word. What does this prajna mean? You see, prajna doesn't have a correct translation in English. Prabhupada has given the word as steady intelligence. I think that's the word he has used there. So, and earlier also, you will see this word used. Ashochyan anyashojastvam pratinavadamscha bhashase. If you remember this verse earlier. Ashochyan anyashojastvam pratinavadamscha bhashase. Gadasu na gadasumscha nanyashojandi pandidaha. That first verse when Krishna spoke to Arjuna, after Arjuna's questions were all over, were finished, was this statement. This is the first verse, isn't it? 10th or 11th verse in the second chapter. Ashochyan anyashojastvam, that you are worrying about things which should not be worried about. You are worrying about that. And you are lamenting about that. And pratnya vadamscha bhashase, your pratnya is such that you are speaking such big, big things. And but gadasu na gadasumscha, people who have come and gone, nani shojandi pandidaha, people do not lament about them. But so your pratnya, the word used is pratnya. Pratnya is not right. Let's look at this word pratnya. Pratnya's definition. What is pratnya? Pratnya is the consciousness of a person. Consciousness of a person. That pratnya says there that the in the word, that word pratnya explained like this, that that pratnya vadamscha bhashase, it says like that. Tattvam means the truth about pratnya is tattvat padabhyam abhidhiyamanayo brahmatmano shodhitayodi vidyam shrutya tayo stavasas masidi sabhya voktattvam evam pratibhadyate muhu aikyam tayo lakshitayona vachayo nigadhayatyo aviruddha parmani sadhyo bhavoghi rajamratyayo kupamburashyo paramanu mevo. That means that the nature of a person, that the ones whose pratnya has developed, that then he will not know, he will know that Brahma Atma, or in other words, his realization will be such, if one whose pratnya has developed, he will see purely his consciousness as Brahma or Atma or the soul. At the moment, we are thinking we are man, woman, and Brahmana, Kshatriya, or boy, girl, and different identities we are feeling at the moment in our existence, isn't it? So, but when this goes away, and Jiva Ahanda, Ahanda means that our ego inside, when it starts changing from these identities, and takes this position as the very basis of all this as our consciousness. When that is developing inside, then that is pratnya. That is pratnya. Pratnya means simply a shifting from the ahanda in the form of all the false identities what we have got. All the false identities what we have got, as I said before, this man, woman, brahmana, kshatriya, king, servant, worker, all sorts of identities. These are all upadhis in us, isn't it? They are called upadhis. All these upadhis goes away. And in consciousness, we come to the conclusion that I am by nature consciousness. Consciousness is my nature. Why do we say consciousness? Because consciousness is something which you are conscious of, isn't it? That's the only thing what we are conscious of in this world. That I am conscious of so many things, you are conscious of so many things. And it is that consciousness is the symptom of the soul inside. Consciousness is the symptom of the soul inside. Just like this mic here. Mic has no consciousness. If I shout at mic, if I glorify mic, if I abuse the mic, it makes no difference to this mic. But if you do that to another person, then it has a reaction from that person, isn't it? Why? Because he is conscious. There is consciousness in that person. So the difference between a conscious entity and an entity which has no consciousness is this, that it creates vigaram or emotions in that person. And that is coming from consciousness. That's coming from consciousness. Consciousness is the origin of all these things. And this consciousness is the symptom of the soul. And that is Krishna. And that is Krishna's presence in us. And therefore, more than looking in the temple for Krishna, it should be there where we should be looking at. Because here there is a direct proof in front of us to understand what is Krishna. Whereas normally our tendency, to see Krishna, we go to the temple. Temple, it is only a facility given to us to worship Krishna in a form that is pleasing to us, to engage the senses, and in that way to serve Krishna, this opportunity is given at the temple. But the spiritual realization, practical realization can come only from inside, because it is there that the actual manifestation of Krishna within us is present there. And that connection and relationship, this is what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about all the time. That Bhagavatam will say these things to us, that to remember this, that see this soul present in everyone, who is nothing but Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. He is eternal, he is pure, and he is conscious, and he is liberated. All these things are these qualities of the soul inside. He is eternal, he is liberated, he is conscious, and he is pure. You see, the words used for defining the soul, the very nature of the soul is like that. Somehow or the other, we have not developed that realization in us, and we identified with our false ego and fell into this trap. That's what Krishna is saying. So, prajna is that word what we use in relationship with our realization. When the false ego exists inside and the prajna is also inside, as much as when prajna becomes powerful, or our prajna, consciousness becomes powerful, that identification with all the falsities will go away, particularly with the body, with the bodily identification, dehamoham, goes away from that. An example given is like that, when the prajna has developed very well, it is like the presence of a sun inside and the glowworm. The false ego becomes the glowworm and prajna becomes the sun. Like the sun is so brilliant and sun is so powerful. Similarly, the prajna becomes very powerful and the ahanda or false ego starts showing its weaknesses, and it becomes like a glowworm. It becomes very, very weak. And it only exists for namesake. It is not something that prajna means, it's not spasmodic, that it comes and goes away like that. And on the other hand, when it becomes a daily realization, all the time, nitya nirandara anubhavam it is called, daily, all the time, if it becomes an experience, that person is called sthita prajna. When that realization of the soul inside, when it becomes permanent and all the time it is shining inside in the name of the identity of the soul, and that time he is called as sthita prajna. Susthirasya bhave sthita prajna muchyate. And if you use this word prajna, the way they mention this, explain this, is that prakrashena jnanam is prajna. Prakrashena jnanam is prajna. Then, what you can know, this is important thing, what you can know without the help of mind and intelligence. Normally, we know everything through mind and intelligence only, isn't it? All experiences in this world is through mind and intelligence. If there is something which cannot be known with mind and intelligence, but it is still experienced by the presence of the soul, that is the effect of prajna. That is prajna. So, when the prajna develops in a person, or this consciousness develops in a person, the understanding or realizations also gets better. It gets stronger in him. So the purity of this prajna is called prajna shuddhi. So it is not intelligence, it's not the mind, But it is that thing which is for the soul's purity inside. Purity in the sense that soul is always pure, but the more the contamination inside, in our consciousness, that is covering the soul goes away, prajna becomes purified. So this prajna shuddhi is an important factor in spiritual realizations. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna will speak about, in the Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions this in the beginning itself, isn't it? He mentions in the beginning itself. He says, there, dharma projjita kaidavotra paramo narmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. The second verse, then he says, Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite. Mahamuni Sukadeva Goswami has compiled these verses, Kimva Parei Ishwarehi, that Supreme Personality is discussed in this Srimad Bhagavatam, Kimva Parei Ishwarehi, Sadyo Hridi Avaruddhidetra Kridibi Shushroshubhi Talchanad. When one wants to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, immediately Krishna enters into the heart of that person. Avaruddhide means he enters inside and cleans up there. Krishna says, I want to listen Bhagavatam, so let me sit in this person's heart and listen. So, but when he gets in there, what he finds is full of dirt. Full of dirt. So he cleans up that place first for him to sit. That is a poetic way of explaining that. Sadyo hridi avaruddhidetra kridibi shushroshubi talshanat. But as soon as he gets in, and when we say gets in, he's already there. But when he starts showing his potency there, immediately the place gets cleared up for the knowledge to come in. For the knowledge to come in means knowledge to manifest in that person. So all that what happens in relationship with spiritual life is happening inside us, not outside. It's always happening inside us. And that is the reason why so much importance is given to realizing the self inside. Realizing the self inside. Otherwise, we could have simply said, soul is just a part and parcel of Krishna. And left it at that. Not giving too much importance to it. But in the Bhagavatam, as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna will mention this importance of realizing the truth inside. Realizing the truth inside. Even from a personal form, worshipping a personal form, it depends on the strength of your inside. Like Dhruva Maharaj's story, if you look at it, you will see Dhruva Maharaj has done a lot of meditations, isn't it? A lot of meditation. 6 months he was meditating on Krishna's particular form he was meditating. And that form first manifested inside, not outside. First manifested inside. And afterwards, Bhagavatam says, if you look carefully, you will see there, Bahistidam Dadarsha. When the form disappeared from inside, then when he looked, opened his eyes, he saw that form outside. Saw the form outside. Bahistidam Dadarsha. First it was inside. After his intense penances and meditations, that dhyanam or meditation, that power of meditation is what made Krishna to manifest inside. The power of Dhruva Maharaj's meditation forced Krishna to appear inside first. And when he opened the eyes, that form was standing outside. Exactly the same form what manifested inside came outside also. So depending on which form we are meditating upon, that form will manifest inside first, and then it will manifest outside. So, in the Bhagavatam, this is explained in many instances that the manifestation of Krishna inside is an important thing, and that depends on the power of meditation of the devotee. He manifests inside, and then he manifested outside. Now here there is another interesting thing, that Dhruva Maharaj meditated on the form which was explained to him by Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi spoke to Dhruva Maharaj about a particular form of
Krishna. In that form, Dhruva Maharaj meditated. And whatever form he has meditated, that manifested inside. And then when he opened his eyes, the form came outside. The form came outside in front of him. If you look into Bhagavadam, you will see in the third canto, Kapila Vasudev discussing about a form of Krishna. A particular form of Krishna on which to meditate. There is number of verses beginning with Sanjindayet Bhagavadas Charanaravindam. Starting from the lotus feet of Krishna right up to the top of the head. A form of Krishna is described there. That is a form recommended by Kapila Vasudev. Narada Maharshi's recommendation to Dhruva is a different form. So, depending on the sage who give you the information about the particular form of Krishna, you will meditate on that form, isn't it? Somebody will meditate on one particular form of Vishnu. Another form, in the form of, say, for example, somebody is worshipping the form of Narasimha Murthy, Lord Narasimha. If you worship in that form will manifest inside, and then later that form will manifest outside. So, according to the form which you meditate, it is on that form Krishna will manifest. That is the power of meditation. We are talking about the power of meditation. That the meditation is done in such a way, if you study the sixth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Dhyana Yogam, you will see there that Dhyanam or meditation. Meditation means, what does meditation actually mean? Meditation means continuous thought of a particular form without break. That means it doesn't go away from your inside. It stays there permanently. It doesn't go away from inside. And that is meditation. And what is important is not how you sit for meditation or how you concentrate your eyesight on the tip of the nose and so many things mentioned there, isn't it? But they are not the most important part of meditation. Meditation, most important part is the inside, how it is. If no other thoughts are coming in, and continuously one is able to remember that form of Krishna, whatever that is inside has manifested, and if it does not go away from the mind does not go away from that, the thoughts are always there in that form, then that meditation becomes very powerful, very strong. And that is where our meditation fail. We make all other arrangements externally, but when it comes to that, we have no control over it, isn't it? We have no control over how to control the inside. Outside, we can control. We can lock up the room, sit there, and sit in a particular pose. What Krishna has spoken about it in the Bhagavad Gita, that you should sit in a particular way, he says there, isn't it? And also, how to avoid hearing any noise inside so that the ears can be closed and eyes are closed and so many different things what mentions there. But they are all on the external side, but internal side it becomes a problem. And after doing all these things, the mind will go wandering somewhere else. So, Dhruva Maharaj's case, Sri Narada Maharshi gave him a particular form to meditate. And that form is different than what Kapila Maharshi is talking about in the third canto. Again, it is different for different personalities. So all those different forms, what manifests to everyone, is depending on the form he has meditated, which manifests outside later. So here, important thing is that Brahman, therefore, the presence of the soul inside is where everything begins. Where spiritual life actually begins from there. And this is the conclusion of all the great sages. That's why they say that Prajnanam Brahma. Prajnanam Brahma. It is one of the four Mahavakyams. Mahavakyam means the great statements in the Upanishads. Prajnanam Brahma. That this Prajna inside is Brahma. Is nothing different than the Brahma. So when Prajna is developed, your Brahman realization also develops very strongly. So, here, Aham Brahmasmi, where does that realization come? Also comes inside. All realizations are inside, not outside. Aham Brahmasmi, it is inside. Tattvamasi, it is inside. Prajnanam Brahma, inside. I am Atma Brahma, inside. So, realizations is all inside. Realization is not outside. So spiritual advancement means this development of these realizations inside. Otherwise, where else would you inquire? Continuously inside us, every one of us, this thing is constantly telling us, I exist, aham, aham, aham asmi, I am there, it's always there. You cannot take it away from us. Nobody can take that away from us. Because it is due to the presence of that soul inside that we are conscious of our existence, isn't it? Existence is not due to the body, that you have to know. Suppose somebody cuts off my leg, I got in an accident, the leg has been amputated. But it doesn't minimize my existence. I am fully aware still that I am existing, 100%. Sometimes I forget the body is not existing. That if the leg is gone, sometimes in the sleep, I may not be conscious of that, my part of the leg is gone. Maybe when I come back to the vacant state, I may be conscious, I'll come to know about it, that the body part of the feet has been amputated or gone. And become conscious of that. But in all states, vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep, that one thing which can never be taken away from me is my consciousness, my existence, and that's prajna. So prajna is that thing that I'm constantly aware of my own existence. And prakashena, now, normal knowledge, ordinary knowledge, what is it? It is in the name of the, through the mind, through the intelligence, and through the senses. The knowledge, what we acquire from this world, is either through the mind, through the intelligence, or through the senses. This prajna is that knowledge which comes in without the help of any of these three. Neither through the mind, nor through the intelligence, nor through the senses. So, even if you take away the hand or a leg or many parts of the body, if you cut it off, if I am still living in the body, I am fully conscious of my existence. I am still there. I don't say to anybody, say my hand is gone. I don't say, oh, I am not fully conscious now. I am only 80% conscious because my one hand is gone or leg is gone. I'm fully 100% conscious still. So consciousness and existence are closely connected. Consciousness and existence are closely connected. Existence in the sense of spiritual existence. They cannot be reduced under any circumstances, irrespective of what happens to the body. Because of this, Shastram tells us one important thing, that the soul, although the body exists, soul has no connection with the body. Soul has no connection with the body. You may think what a statement this is, isn't it? Soul has no connection with the body. What it means is that even though body is present on the soul, soul is not dependent on the body for its existence. Soul is totally independent from the body. when we have got this identity of the soul, this material body is nothing but an adulteration in that. So it is due to this adulteration with the body that the soul is thinking of itself as a jiva. Jiva means this conditioning has come from that. Just like we give these examples in the Shastra means, the rope, when it you start thinking as a snake first, isn't it? But when you start putting the torch on the rope, and if you start looking, immediately you realize it is not a snake, but it is a rope. So similarly, through the process of cultivating this spiritual knowledge or deepening our spiritual understanding or spiritual realization, through that, when you start going inside, the jiva, the conditioned soul, will give up its old identity and it will start experiencing a great peace in identification with its pure existence as soul. Jiva form is when we identified with the false ego. That's when we become jiva, isn't it? when this consciousness inside, when it identifies with the false ego, we become jiva. When we give up our identity with the false ego, and it becomes the pure consciousness inside, free from this false ego, then it comes to the platform of spiritualized. That is when it becomes a soul, pure soul, spiritual nature. So, immediately to remember is this, that don't try to capture that with intelligence. Don't try to capture that with intelligence. all that is required is to keep on hearing about the soul. The more we keep on hearing, our attention will start shifting from the jiva, from the false ego, into this position as our identity as spirit soul. Our attention will start moving towards that. The only mistake we have done in our life is we did not care about it, about this thing called soul. All the time we gave attention to our false ego. And we maintained and we lived in that way throughout life, and therefore that false ego became stronger day by day. When we say false ego, do not misunderstand that it is something we all have a hate towards that. No, false ego includes everything. All our activities in this world is based on false ego. All our activities are based on false ego. And this false ego is only there due to our ignorance inside. So, Krishna is explaining that here, that the Shraddha is means, this is why in the spiritual process, Shraddha is given importance. Shraddha means nothing else. You can't find an equivalent word, but Shraddha is generally defined like this, that the Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana Sa Shraddha. This is the definition. Shastram, what Shastram says is correct. I won't question Shastram. And similarly, the words from the spiritual master, Guruvakyam. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana. Able to accept that without any further doubts on that. Satyabuddhi means you have no more doubts about it. Doubts are only there because of the mind, as I mentioned before. Mind and intelligence causes all the problems inside. But if you have succeeded in going beyond the mind and intelligence and able to accept that what Shastram has spoken is truth and what the spiritual teacher or the guru says to us is accepted without any further questions, then that increases your Shraddha. That is the one which gives strength to the Shraddha. So, Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satyabuddhyavadharana. That firmness inside to accept things without and rejecting everything else, then that will strengthen the realization of the prajna, or the prajna's strength is coming from that. And what actually helps the fertilizer to develop that tree is bhakti. Bhakti is the fertilizer for that. And the worship, what we do, is meditation. Meditation or the way we reflect on these things. Puja. Puja means, you know, generally we say pujari, isn't it? One who does the deity worship, we call him as pujari. Where does this word come from? Puja. Puja means worship. These are the closest equivalent words in English. Puja means worship. Now, people misunderstand that puja means doing aarti, doing different rituals associated with that. This is all referred to as puja. But actually, puja is consciousness. And the one who has got that consciousness is pujari, who does that. In other words, his mind should be so firmly fixed on the in service to Krishna that the bhavam is important. Bhavam of that person who is doing that is important. If he is, because otherwise if you look at it this way, the way things are going now, after a while, it will be very difficult to get pujaris properly. So naturally, now we have only started employing pujaris, isn't it? After a while, what will happen, even because of the labor costs are going up, we may develop some technology whereby robots can do the puja. Robots will do the puja. They will do better than the pujaris today because they'll be on time. If you program it properly, they'll be there on time. They will chant the mantras and everything better than us. and they will finish the puja, the arati on the right time, and everything will be done much more efficiently than a human being can do, isn't it? A human person can do. So things can happen that at some time this may develop. We will find that is the easiest way rather than employing people. Because if you employ people, you have to pay salary, and then you have to pay their PRSI or whatever, the national insurance and so many other things. So why bother? We may make a decision like that, that it costs a lot less, or maybe we have to invest initially a little bit more. But on a long run, he doesn't protest, he doesn't ask for holidays, he doesn't say anything which will cause any problems. He will just do on time every time. All the five aartis he can do very well. If you keep it right then, will that become puja then? No. So puja is not something physical activity. Puja is that person's bhavam. Bhavam is the most important thing. Krishna says, bhavagrahi janardana. That is what makes it a puja, not anything else. That is what makes it a puja, the bhavam inside. What is the bhavam inside? That service to Krishna in surrender. That is what it is called there. Nigamakalpadarorgalidam phalam shukamukhad amrudadravasam yudam. That nigamakalpam, that nigamakalpam, that is the consciousness that creates that, and that is what is called pratnya. So, in that situation, Krishna says here that the it develops into a situation where Ishvara Swarupam, that we will see what we are. We will see what we are. Then, if there is a sky inside a pot, outside a pot, there is no difference, isn't it? If you have a pot, there is sky inside the pot and there is sky outside the pot. There is no difference between the two, is there? Because once the pot is broken, you say, oh, the sky inside the pot and the sky outside the pot, we don't speak like that anymore. Because there's only one sky that is inside and outside. So, if one knows that, that the soul inside also, in its connection with, the super soul, is also like that. It has a connection. And that connection at the moment, while it is within the body, it experiences in one way. And when the body falls away, that soul also, its connection with the ghadagasham, mahagasham, ivalpmanam, paralpmani, vilapya akhandabhavena, tushnim, bhavasadamini. That the individual soul and the supreme soul is like that. A relationship is very, very close between the two. Jiva bhodam goes away. It's no more anymore a conditioned soul. And that is the freedom from this existence. So, when we talk about all these things, it comes to our mind, is it possible to practice all this in our life in this world or in Vyavaharam? And Krishna says about that, that even if you have not fully succeeded in coming to this state, all the time, even for some time in your life, at some point, if you have accepted this, that this is the right thing, Krishna says, that will save you from a lot of trouble later. That is what that word, Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayad. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? What does that mean? Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayad. We have to understand what Krishna is saying there. Krishna is saying that this knowledge of the soul inside, even if whatever Krishna has spoken so far is not 100% realized, we couldn't make it in this lifetime. We couldn't do it. Due to our prarabdham, basically due to prarabdham, that prarabdham is dragging us back, dragging us down. So, sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad. Krishna says, even if you have not realized it fully, if you have accepted it, that this is the truth, then even that little knowledge or the little ray of light of this knowledge, if it has gone into a person, solpam, that means very little bit, it has gone inside. apyasya dharmasya, because this is dharmam. This is the true nature of the soul, to be like that, to be in its proper position of realized state of nitya shuddha buddha mukta swarupam. If we have become some experience or some touch of that inside us, I am eternal, I am pure, I am consciousness, and I am always liberated. If this understanding comes in to some degree, even to very little degree, Krishna says, Trayade Mahado Bhayad, you can escape from the greatest fear. That's a very, very valid statement. People who have no knowledge of the soul and our spiritual existence, you can see their life is very, very hard for them. Why? In that ignorance captures them very strongly. Always fearful about the body, always fearful about the world, always fearful about their existence in this world. You can see that it's purely coming from the identification with the body. And this knowledge has not even entered into their heart. They never cared to think in that direction, nor they had any taste for it, nor they took any interest to know about it. And that is why Krishna says like this, Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad. It is coming from that this knowledge of the soul is such an important thing. We may not succeed in this lifetime to completely come to the spiritual platform. That is in Krishna's hands. Degree of surrender, sharanagati, what we have, the bhakti, what we have developed. There are other factors. But at least if we have touched and accepted this to some degree inside us, Krishna is saying there, Sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahado bhayad. Because, so, this experience we are not happening that continuously within us, that we know that. Even if we, sometimes when you hear, you get this flicker inside, that I am spirit soul. Why should I be driven by all these modes of nature? Why should I be driven by all these material situations? I am totally independent, isn't it? Chidananda rupam shivoham shivoham. My pure nature is I am soul. I have nothing to do with this body, nothing to do with the material modes of nature. But what is actually happening, causing the problem in realizing that? Because of the vasanas inside. Vasanas are that at coverage of the soul. And that vasanas have not, if the vasanas have become zero, there is no vasanas inside, the soul in its pure form will manifest. We will have absolutely no identity with the mind or intelligence or the body. It will completely go away. The identity with the body, mind and intelligence is only due to the vasanas that is present inside. And the vasanas are driving us every minute to act in a particular way. So, when Arjuna asked this question, Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha, Samadhistasya Keshava, and Sthita Ki Kim Prabhasheda Kimasita Vrajeda Kim. When this question Arjuna put forward to Krishna, Krishna's answer you will see in the next words what has to be done. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Prajahadiyada Kaman Sarvan Parthamanogatan Altmanye Altmanatushtam Stida Pratyastadochyate Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Prajahadiyada Kaman Atmanye Valmanas Al Sarvan Parthamanogatan Atmanye Valmana Tushtam Stida Pratyasta Dochyate. Translation: the Blessed Lord said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of sense desire which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be in pure transcendental consciousness. So, Krishna said here, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan Atmanyeva atmanatushta Stida pratnyas tadochyade. That is the answer to that question. Arjuna's question is, Sthidapratnyasega bhasha samadhisthasya keshava. Isn't it? Sthidapratnyasega bhasha samadhisthasya keshava. Sthidadhikim prabhasheda kim asida vrajetakim. These are the questions from Arjuna. And Krishna's answer is, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partham anugadan and atmanyeva atmanatushta sthidapratnyastadochide. Krishna says like that, isn't it? So as I mentioned before, that all these vasanas inside is the cause of the problem. What does vasana means? Vasana, normally we say vasana, that's a general term. Actual full word is vishaya vasana. Vishaya vasana means sense enjoyment, desire for sense enjoyment. Desire for sense enjoyment is called vishaya vasana. So this vishaya vasana start coming through the mind and intelligence and brings the sense objects inside, isn't it? And if one succeeds in removing all these desires which brings the sense objects from outside into inside, then Brahman or the soul will manifest. This is Krishna's answer to that question. Generally, the vasanas inside us, it's very logically explained. Krishna explains everything very logically. Vasana is the coverage of the soul. The soul is covered by vasana. Vasana, what it does is, through the mind and intelligence, it goes out. Look for sense objects. When it finds sense objects, it brings them in. All happens in a very deep, subtle level. It cannot be seen, it cannot be tested, but it is happening. This is spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge is all these things, nothing else. That Krishna is saying that the vasanas inside will go out through the mind and intelligence. It will capture the sense objects and brings them in, inside. When it comes in, it gets busy with the mind and intelligence, the sense objects. And senses gets employed in that way. So all the attention goes towards the mind, intelligence, senses and sense objects. That's where all the activities are happening in us at this moment. That's where everything is. In our whole existence in this world, throughout our lifetime, morning to night, this is what is actually happening. That the mind and the senses brings the sense objects inside and the soul, who has nothing to do with all these things, stays indifferent, unaffected by any of these things. And we, falsely, through our false ego, identifies with all these things and gets busy with it whole day. This is our daily life. What we call as a life in this world is this. That is Krishna's point. So Krishna is saying there, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan altmanyeva altmanatushta. So, Atmanyeva Atmanatushta, that's the important statement there. When we have stopped this business of sense gratification, not forcefully, if you stop it, mind will take pleasure inside on its own, if you stop the pleasure. But through knowledge, if you accepted this, that's what Krishna is saying, to accept this understanding, that the mind, intelligence, senses, sense objects, they are playing the game. And we got caught up in that, identified with it, and we thought that's what we are. This is that false ego doing to us. False ego is making us to identify with these things, and we are completely caught up in that process. So, prajahadi yada kaman. Krishna says, when one is unable to not to think about those sense objects as any more important, sarvan partha manogadan, it is due to the mind that is causing all these kind of problems. When that stops, this game, what is being played with the mind, intelligence, senses and sense objects, the jiva ahanda or the false ego inside, it loses its existence. It doesn't exist anymore. That's why it's called false ego. It's a false thing. It doesn't exist actually. A falsity has been created by that ego, that to enjoy life in this way is what your normal business is. No. Krishna says, your pure normal business is Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. To know that you are the soul and be satisfied as the soul. That's what it is. Almanyu almana tushtam. Krishna says, sthita prajnas tadochyade. And one who has reached that state, he is sthita prajnato. He is in sthita prajna. He is in sthita prajna. That is what Krishna is saying there. So, self-realization. That is what we are discussing, isn't it? So, self-realization, these verses are very important. Sthita prajnatvam is what Krishna is trying to present to us through this second chapter. It is the very main message of the second chapter is sthita prajnatvam. And that sthita prajnatvam will not come without realizing these things, without accepting all these things inside. These are verses which should be repeated again and again all the time. Arjuna asked the question, how will it happen? Siddha Pratnya Sega Abhasha, Samadhista Se Keshava. Siddha Asid Kim Prabhasheda Kim Asidam Prajeda Kim. He said, isn't it? How will it happen? Answer to that is, Prajahadi Yada Kaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan Atmanyeva Atmanatushta Siddha Pratnya Tadochede. So, from Krishna's point of view, that Siddha Pratnyatvam comes to a person who is Atmanyeva Atmanatushta, who is satisfied within the soul, who is established within the self. He is sthita prajna. And there he mentioned one word, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan. See that word, sarvan. Sarvan means every desire. That when one loses all desires, complete desires, when he is taken away from him, sarvan of all varieties, kaman, sense gratification, it's mentioned here, that manogadan of mental concoction, because the happiness what we find in the sense objects is a product of the mind, isn't it? Or distress also in the same way, it's coming from the mind. Almani eva almana tushta. That means in the pure state of the soul, by the purified mind, tushta, satisfied, sthita prajna, transcendently situated, tada uchede. It is said at that time he is situated in that consciousness. So, this is an important verse, this prajahadi yada kaman. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan, that not to allow any desire to come in, and destroy us. Because from you can see now why Vairagyam is specified in the spiritual life. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it's mentioned like that, isn't it? Bhakti Jnana Vairagyartham. Bhakti Jnanam Vairagyam. These three things. Vairagyam comes from Jnanam, from knowledge. Knowledge comes from renunciation. And from renunciations and knowledge and renunciation are the two children of bhakti. When bhakti develops inside, it is through bhakti that you give up desires, not otherwise. Forcefully, if you give up desires, it won't work. If you leave one desire, another desire will come in. But the whole attachment to material life and material existence will only go through bhakti, through devotion. So, devotion means what? Devotion means not all these rituals what we do. That is not the devotion what Krishna is talking about. Krishna is talking about a devotion which is based around the soul, about the soul and spiritual existence. That you will see in the 12th chapter later, what bhakti means, Krishna is referring to. So, sarvan partha manogadan almani eva almana tushta. Almani eva almana tushta. That one will find happiness when one is situated as a soul, in the soul. There is happiness there. That happiness we have not experienced. So therefore, the mind goes after all the other things. But liberated souls, their conclusion is that proper happiness is almanyeva almanatushta, when one is situated in the spiritual platform. Otherwise, there is no happiness at all. All to give up all other desires inside the mind. So, in this case, you can see here that we have desires built up from the early life itself, isn't it? From early life, these desires builds up. Vasanas, what is inside us, start manifesting as we grow up. And all kinds of desires starts building up. So what you can see there, that even when you ask children, you ask them, what would you like to be when you grow up, isn't it? We ask this question to children. Children will say so many things. One, someone will say, I want to become a pilot. He wants to fly the aeroplane because he thinks that aeroplane is something amazing thing. So he is affected by that. He thinks to become a pilot is his goal of life. Somebody else says, I want to become a captain in the ship, seeing the sea, and whatever he has seen in the television, accordingly, he will develop his desires. So desires are already there. It's only looking for an outlet to come out. Somebody will say something else. I mean, it all depends on the kind of vasanas inside. It is based on the vasanas that he makes these decisions. We are expecting him to answer that question, isn't it? What would you like to be in future? In other words, what you are asking him, tell me what your vasana is inside. That's what we are asking him. But we put it in a very nice way to him, saying that, what would you like to be when you grow up, to the child? So even then, when the child is answering that question, the child is already, the vasana is building up inside. The vasana is now controlling him. Vasana is telling him that this is what I have to become, to become something. Isn't it? So, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan is a person who does not have these desires inside, whose desires have stopped. He doesn't have to become anything anymore. To become something is material existence. To become something is material existence. Spiritual existence is, there's nothing to become. We are already there, what we are. Spiritual existence is getting rid of things, what we already got. That is spiritual identity. Material identity is to become more, becoming something this, becoming something after that, something else, and then become. This is called bhava. Bhava means this is a disease, bhava rogam. They call it in the Bhagavatam, it is bhava rogam, the word mentioned. That constantly trying to become this, become that, become this. This is constantly happening inside us. So Krishna's point is, if you have come to proper spiritual understanding, this becoming stops. There is no more becoming after that. So that is how you understand spiritual life. So when you study these verses, first thing that points out to us is, prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogara. There is nothing to become. Nothing to become. When you come to spiritual, some people who do a lot of sadhana in their life, but they miss this understanding. They practice spiritual life very well. They put a lot of effort into sadhana. They study books and they do everything what they have been told in spiritual life. But in spite of that, they will complain sometimes, I'm not feeling any fulfillment. They will say like that, I'm not feeling any fulfillment, I'm not getting any realization. How will it happen? Because in your mind somewhere, you already made a decision that I have to become something tomorrow. I have to become a temple president, or I have to become a GBC, or I have to become a sannyasi, or I have to become a guru. These are also desires. There's no question about that. They are not free from all these things. Don't misunderstand that. So the moment you have thought in your inside that I have to become something, you have lost your spiritual identity. You have lost from the, fallen from the spiritual platform. In spiritual platform, there is nothing to become tomorrow. There's nothing to become tomorrow. You are that already. You're already that. What you want to get out of is all these identities away from you. That I am this, I am that. And all these are also identities. Whether you identify as a sannyasi, guru, or a GBC, or temple president, they are also identities. There's nothing else than that. Properly, spiritually advanced person will not identify under any circumstances with any of these identities. That is spirituality. Otherwise, it's not spirituality. If I start thinking, I'm temple president somewhere, I'll be writing to everyone, I'm temple president, I'm temple president, I'm temple president. And eventually, I become the temple president identity. I put that garb on. I won't be thinking about spiritual identity. It's gone, lost there. You will, very quickly, we will accept that rather than the Altmaneva Altmana Tushta. What Krishna is saying here is that once you have understood this verse, you will not again identify with something, and you have nothing to become afterwards. spiritual life is existing in this position, Atmanyo Atmana Tushta, throughout life, and then you have spiritually realized the truth. Spiritual realization doesn't come by accepting identities. It won't happen. These are all falsities, what in the material world, when we're dealing with other things, it can easily creep into our mind, these understandings. This understanding. Not only these things, we identify as Hindus, Muslims, Christians, these are also identities, nothing else than that. Where will it all help spiritually? Spiritual realization won't happen. That's why Krishna used the word Sarvan Partha. Sarvan, everything. Prajahadi Yadakaman Sarvan Partha Manogadan. They are all the product of the mind, nothing else. Nothing to do with the soul. If we accept this, that is where the problem is. We forget this and we go after other identities like the... Even in the temple, that's what happens to most of us, isn't it? We identify as Hindus, Muslims, Christians, and all identities, Vaishnavas. They're all identity. Shaivas, they're all identity. Nothing else. Krishna's point is very clear, straightforward, and very easy to understand. Only thing we have to accept what Krishna says. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. They have come from your mind, nowhere else. That's Krishna's point. Sarvan, everything. Not one is exempted. Whatever you call in this, that or the other, they are all partha, manogadan. They are a product of your mind. Almanyeva almana tushta. One who has come to the platform of the soul, he doesn't think like that anymore. Stida prajna tadochade. That person is stida prajna. He is the one who is liberated. This is the beauty of that verse. That verse, can Krishna be more clearer than this? Can he explain that more clear than this? In spite of all that, we won't accept it. We will still manufacture some new identities and go after that. Isn't it? So that is the sad thing in spiritual life. What happens is this. And then the whole purpose of, we will recite Bhagavad Gita on Gita Jayanti day, but nothing changes inside. What is the use of all that? What's the use of reading Krishna's book, all the verses, when we are not accepting what Krishna is saying there? And we'll distribute thousands of books to so many people and all kinds of things we do. But when it comes to the message, no, that we don't want from you. That we have our own message. We created for ourselves, our slogans. Yeah. So these are the things in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying to us that this thing called bhavam, of constantly trying to become something, identifying something, is a disease with us. Soul doesn't require any identification. Soul is totally independent. That is why, Ekadasha Skandam, when you see, Krishna will say, like, some of the things Krishna has spoken is very powerful on this message. And nobody else, like Uddhava said to Krishna, nobody else could speak like the way Krishna has spoken about it. And therefore, Uddhava says, I have to hear from you, from no one else. Even Lord Brahma, I don't want to hear, he said. I want to hear from you because you are the only person who has acted from that platform all along throughout the time in this world. And you are the personification of that existence in the spiritual platform. So, prajahadi yada kaman, it's a very important verse. If we have understood all these things, we won't act in the way we act today. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan almanyeva almana tushta. We are supposed to be in that platform. Only then we can preach Krishna consciousness to others. Otherwise, how can you preach? If I identify with one particular group of people and say I am this and you are that, where is the preaching then? It is in order to get us out of these boxes that these words are there. These verses are there. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan. He says sarvan. That word sarvan is the most important thing. Everything Krishna puts into that category. Krishna puts into that category. When we preach or when we talk to other people, even to say to them that I am a Vaishnava, even that is considered to be an identity there. They are considered to be an identity there. In one aspect, you can say we are worshipping Krishna. But at the same time, Krishna's instructions to us is sarvan partha manogadan. Everything is a product of the mind. Prajahadi yada kaman. All this kamam must go. Why? Almanya, atma tushta. Almanya, atmana tushta. That is my nature. That is what I am. And that you cannot change. Nobody can change that. This is the thing. Alpanyu alpanatushta. This is what we are, and that's what we will be forever in the realized state. In the conditioned state, we will take all these identities. In the realized state, Atmanyev Atmanatushta, totally satisfied in identifying as the soul. As the soul. That is what we are. There is no question of going and identifying with that. It's not an identification. That's what we are. It is that which is falling into all these identities, false identities. Atmanyev Atmanatushta. Sthidapratnya tadochyade. Krishna says like that there, isn't it? So, as I mentioned before, that in our consciousness, if we develop all this becoming something, then that has to go from inside. That has to go from inside. The only thought what should be inside is a aspirant or a person who is looking for realization should be that I want to realize the self. Self-realization. That should be the only thing that should be working inside. And the same thing is called as Atmasakshalkaram or self-realization. And that's a goal. And Krishna mentioned this. At least before leaving this body, if I get fixed up on that thought, Krishna says that you require, that is what requires Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. You remember this word? We discussed earlier in the second chapter. Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. That Buddhi, which is that thinking inside all the time, that Vyavasayatmiya, that it is always thinking about this goal, that fully fixed, single-minded, one-pointed intelligence in a person to realize the truth. Krishna says that's all what is needed. So, to come out of all these, in second chapter, the only conclusion here is, first, Arjuna spoke about his distress. Then, Krishna answered that, mentioning to Arjuna that you have no knowledge, you have no understanding of the truth, and he spoke the truth. Isn't it? Ashochyan and Ashochastam onwards. We discussed all that earlier. The truth was, our identity is the soul, nothing else. That's only truth. And he glorified the soul and he spoke to us that soul is something nobody can understand completely. What a soul does and how he acts, and nothing can disturb the soul because it's completely independent. Soul is totally independent. All that thing Krishna has spoken. It was after that when Krishna spoke about the importance of Karma Yoga. He spoke about that in order to come to that platform. And because the block is coming from karma. Karma means karma vasana. They are all linked together. We use different words. If you call it karma or vasana, it doesn't make a difference. Karma vasana, sometimes they say like that. So karma and karma vasana is what is causing the problem. So Krishna says, first come out of this karmic influence or the importance of the impact of karma on us. On us means on the soul. So therefore he suggested to us to practice karma yoga, to take it as karma yoga. And he also mentioned that while executing karma yoga, what are the pitfalls that can come? We have seen that. What pitfalls can come? What are the pitfalls? Pitfalls are, first, you are identifying yourself as you are the doer. That's the first pitfall. Second pitfall is this, that you want the results. If these two things, if you keep away, then that karma will purify you. Aham, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Kratratvam and Bhoktratvam. If these two things are taken seriously, you can free yourself from karma. And that is the next step. After freeing from a karma, Krishna says to us that in the process, if you are expecting any results, you are a Kripana. Kripana means miser person. Why is it called miser? Why? Because human body has been given for a higher realization, for self-realization. And that body you are using for a much cheaper purpose. say you have been given some great facility to do something. If you not use it for the right purpose, but use it for a very silly thing to get a little happiness in this world by utilizing the body for that purpose, Krishna is saying you are a Kripana, you are a miser person. You don't know how to use the thing properly. Body has been given for realizing the absolute truth and to come back to self-realization. Instead of using for that, engages in such karmam, expecting results from that, Krishna says, Kripana Bhalahetava. That means you are a Kripana. He has used that strong word there about all of us. And then after saying that, Arjuna asked the question that what should one do who he has transcended all these things, who is freed from karmic effect, or who is free from karma, what will be the person like? That was Arjuna's question. So when Arjuna asked that question, Siddha Pratnya Sega Bhasha, Samadhista Se Keshava, Siddhadi Kim Prajeda, Kim Prajeda Kim. So then Krishna answered that a person who has come to that Siddha Pratnya stage, the first thing what he will be doing will be that his Sarva Kaman, that Manogadan, he will know that I have to have no desire in this world. No desire in this world to do anything. Freedom from all desires. Sarvan partha manogadan. And what else? Atmanyeva atmana tushta. He is consciousness. His consciousness is such that his consciousness of existence as the soul is very fixed up inside. Therefore, he has no desires inside. Because of that, he has no desires inside. So, in order to do that, Krishna spoke about what is known as Vyavasaya Atmiya Buddhi. And this should be the only thing what should be working in his mind. How to reach that state of consciousness. And that is Krishna called it as Vyavasaya Atmiya Buddhi. One-pointed, single-minded devotion to realizing the truth. Then, and that requires determination. And in order to do that, if we do that, Krishna says, you will always be running around that. You won't leave and go somewhere else. If this decision is taken inside, Vyavasaya Atmiya Buddhi has decided with full determination that I want to realize the truth now. I want to escape from this material existence once for all. Don't want to come back here anymore. All this can only happen if you have accepted what Krishna has spoken before. Otherwise, it won't happen. So, first we have to accept that my identity is Atma, the soul. Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta. Only there I will be satisfied. The peace will come to me only in that state. If that is accepted, Krishna says, all your thoughts will run around that important thought. Important thought is this self-realization. If you have decided that inside, with full determination, then whatever you do after that will be centered around this. Will not go away. Because this is a very powerful thing inside which keeps everything together. This decision or this determination inside. Now, somehow or the other, to go back to Krishna, that keeping this desire, we have to give up all the other desires. That's what is expected. Suppose this desire of realizing the truth is strong inside, other desires in this world will leave on its own. They won't come very strongly because so many desires will be there, but this one particular desire by nature itself is more powerful than all other desires. That is the point Krishna is saying there. That this one desire, Atmanyeva Atmana Tushta, Sthita Prajna Tadochyate, Krishna says this desire, if it is strong inside and if one is fixed on that, then whole life, whatever other things happens in life, as far as Krishna is concerned, they are not important. They are not so important. We have made it important. Krishna's importance is only one thing. What is that? Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan atmanyeva atmana tushta. You see, atmanyeva atmana tushta is a very important word there. Why? Atmanyeva atmana tushta has a various expansion on that. Atmanyeva atmana tushta. Take it in this way. Who is Atma? Krishna is the soul. Isn't it? Atma is Krishna. So, when Krishna is inside, you are satisfied with Krishna. That means only in Krishna's association you will have satisfaction. You will have the happiness coming from that. Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. That is what Atmanyeva. That is for the devotee. That's for the devotee. For the jnani, he is thinking he is the soul. Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. Again, that applies to jnani also. Applies to jnani, it applies to a devotee. Both. Both of them. They are Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. They are satisfied as the soul. They don't need anything else. Devotee is satisfied in remembrance of Krishna all the time and surrendering to him. Sharanagati. Sharanagati means what? Actually, Sharanagati means this. That realizing what we are and surrendering to that. That's Sharanagati. Sharanagati is not that I have to go and surrender to somebody else. No. Realizing this truth, what we are, and surrendering to that knowledge is Sharanagati. Once we have surrendered there, our jiva ahanda or false ego inside will automatically withdraw at that point. So that is for a devotee's point of view. From a jnani's point of view, he is saying that I am that. I'm realizing that. That's what I am. Through his thought power, he has come to that conclusions. So Krishna say in these connections is where in the Bhagavadam, if you look at the gopis, what happened to them? Gopis, this is what has happened, isn't it? First, they got the association with Krishna. As much as the association is growing with Krishna, their realization of the soul is also becoming stronger inside. Because this personality of Godhead, Supreme Personality, Krishna, inside is the soul of those gopis also. So every time, when they were leaving the family and going away, when they went for the rasa dance, actually the conclusion from the acharyas is that basically what they are saying was when they left home and they wanted to see Krishna in the forest. Sharadolpullamulliga vicharendam bhagavanabidoratri Sharadolpallamulligaha Vicharendam Kadas Chakre. There is a verse in the Bhagavadam, 29th chapter. You will see it begins like this. How gopis left home and went to the forest to see Krishna. These things are spoken in that way, but the tattvam or the truth behind is that it is the desire of the soul to go back to Krishna, to know their real identity is Krishna, the soul, super soul inside. But when they when they wanted to go to Krishna, or in other words, self-realization, that is, that they were able to give up all their other desires. Other desires have automatically left them. What were those desires? Desires for looking after the family, looking after the children, older people at home, and about their other businesses of selling the butter, and various other activities, keeping the house clean. In the Bhagavadam, all those things are spoken very much. If you remember, in the 10th canto, you will find a verse there that gopis, afterwards, because they came to this situation, Atmanyeva Atmanatushta, Krishna has brought them. When the super soul is directly associating with you, it happens much more easily than anywhere else. So for gopis, that is what has happened. Due to their association with Krishna, immediately this Atmanyeva Atmanatushta platform they came to. They started experiencing the blissfulness of the soul. That is, that blissful experience is what is coming through different pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto. That blissful experience of the gopis with Krishna. When it is spoken in the Purana style, in the Puranams it is spoken through that stories and everything. We think only the story side of it. But you should also look at it this way, that Atmanyeva Atmanatushta is what the gopis were experiencing in Krishna's association. That is why they were able to give up all other connections with this world. Every other connection with this world, they have left it. Why? They got affected by this spiritual experience. Atmanyeva Atmanatushta. So, gopis also did the same thing with Krishna. And they realized that their own soul is this Krishna. They came to realize that. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, Gopiya Gita, there is a verse there Nakhalu gobiga nandano bhavan akhila dehinam andaralmadrik. Gopis are saying to Krishna, can you imagine? Gopis have not studied any shastram. From where is this coming then? This statement is an exact statement in the shastram. What is that? Nakhalu gobiga nandano bhavan. You are not the son of a gopi. In other words, Yashoda Devi's son. You are not Yashoda Devi's son. Gopis are saying this to Krishna. How could they say this? If this Atmanyo Atmana Tushta wasn't there. What did they say? Akhila Dehinam Andara Atmadrak. All living entities, the presence, it is your presence inside as Atma or the soul and Drik. Atmadrak means one who is seeing everything. Two things, the seer and the seen. We give importance to the seen, what is seen, isn't it? What we see, we consider this important. But in the Shastram, the importance is given to the seer. Who is seeing this? They will ask the question. Who is seeing? What is seen is not important. What is seen is Maya's creation. Maya has created so many things and you are seeing that. But who is seeing that? That's the question. That's what the gopi said. Akhila dehinam andaral madrak. Vighana sartido vishwaguptaye sakhamudeyivan satudam kule. It is the words in the 19 verses Gobiya Gidam in the 33rd chapter. I think it is 33rd chapter. You will find there 19 verses full of knowledge from the gopis. And the gopis had never haven't even gone to school. They didn't even go to school because the schools didn't exist then. So they didn't go to schools and they didn't go to anyone to learn anything. But realization there, what can you say? Why do they need any Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam after that? They have already got what Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam is teaching us. That realization, they have already got it. So what is the need for them to study any Shastram? That is why devotee asked Krishna that evam bhaktyam, this kind of devotion, what the gopis have, this is devotion, this is called bhakti. Ichedana shrudava kim shastrauke kimiha tapasa gobigabhyo namostu. Evam bhaktya. This kind of bhakti, what gopis had. This is what Krishna calls us bhakti. What is that? This realization and following that, following up that realization. That is bhakti. Bhakti is not something, what we think as bhakti is a completely misunderstanding. We are thinking bhakti means, oh, I'm going to temple every day. I have done so much service there. And this, that, and so many. They are, in one level, they are accepted as bhakti. But bhakti in its proper form, when Krishna explains that, is this. Evam bhaktya akhila bhuvanena chidana shrudava. That this kind of bhakti, what gopis have realized through their bhakti, is ichidana shrudava kim shastrauke kimiha tapasa gobigabhyo namostu. That one has never heard of this kind of bhakti, what gopis had for Krishna, never heard, seen this, never heard about it. Why? Kim shastra ughe? What is the need to study any shastram? Kimiha tapasa? Is there any need to perform any penances? Gopigabhyo namostu. All my respectful obeisances to the gopis of Vrindavanam. Why is that? Because they have shown to us that simply by connecting with Krishna in the as the super soul, Andaryami inside, Akhila Dehinam Andaralmadre. That's what they have done. They saw Krishna outside and they realized that it is Krishna who is inside. Each one of them. And due to that because once you realize what you are a part of that. That affection, attachment and love for Krishna has increased day by day in the gopi's heart. The result of all that is, gopis have reached this tidapratnya state without any difficulty. Self-realization happened to the gopis without any difficulty. They didn't have to go through any of those things, chanting 16 rounds, taking up in the morning, bathing in the morning, and running around, all sorts of things, what we do in spiritual life, what we are planning, doing at the moment, all those things didn't happen to the gopis. All that they did was Prajahadi Yadakaman, Sarvan, Parthamanogadan. In there, later on, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you will see that they had no other thoughts coming into their mind. And indeed, there is a verse, I forget that verse in the 10th canto, it says there, while sweeping the ground in the house, while lighting the lamps, while attending to the children, attending to the older people, while grinding the grains, and while cleaning the rooms, all sorts of things they were doing all the time, just like any housewife will do, completely engaged in the activities at home. They were engaged in all that. But what was that? What was happening? That anurakta diyaha ashrokandyaha. Bhagavatam says like that. But always there is only one thought inside. Almanyeva almanatushta. In consciousness of Krishna, they are completely conscious of that all the time. They were doing many, many things. But inside in consciousness, there was only this situation. Almanyeva almanatushta. So therefore, gopis reach that state without a lot of endeavor. They have managed to get it. That is, of course, there are other reasons which we know from the Bhagavatam that these gopis are. They had this great fortune to associate with Krishna in that way. Many of them were great personalities, great sages in their previous life. When Lord Ramachandra visited them in the forest, these sages were performing penances in the forest. And that is when they wanted to, seeing Ramachandra's beauty, they wanted to associate with him. And Ramachandra told them that when he appears as Krishna, this opportunity will be given to them. And that's why many of the great sages has come as gopis in that body. In that body, they got this personal association with Krishna. And association with Krishna means self-realization, nothing else. That's the result. Almanyeva almanatushta. Similarly, you will also know that the Vedas personified came as gopis. Some of them were Vedas personified. So Vedas personified came as gopis. The great sages from the forest, they came as gopis. Some of the personalities from the higher planets who lived in the higher planets, they wanted to associate with Krishna. They also came as gopis. So like this, from different backgrounds, these gopis have come. And because their manogadan, their desire was to associate with Krishna, Krishna gave them that desire from the very beginning and fulfilled their desires. The result of all that was Sarvan Partha Manogadan. They had no more desire, anything. Afterwards, they had no more desire. They say that to Krishna at one point. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. When the gopis acknowledging to Krishna, there is no more desires inside us. That they say like that in the Bhagavatam. That they have no more. Krishna asked this question to them. Is there any more desires inside? And their answer was that there is no more desires left inside. So, that getting rid of these desires from inside is the first step in that. In the sense that it should not be done on a forcefully. In the sense that desires will have to go, leave you, rather than you leaving the desires. Prajahadi yada kaman. After you have removed all these desires, afterwards, what exists is only Krishna. That what exists is only Krishna. That Krishna is that, and if the desire to including the desire for realization has to go, that's what they're saying. That because desire is such a thing, that desire comes inside and it starts work. Once a desire comes in, then immediately it will start thinking, oh, I have to do this, I have to become that, I have to become that. It's coming from the desire. So desire causes this problem, so therefore even that desire for self-realization has to go. It should not be thinking that I want to become self-realized, but rather I should be thinking all the time that I am that truth. I am not different from that truth. That is my true identity. That is how not to think about desiring that, but thinking in terms of I am that. that spiritual identity. Without any desires I exist. Tirumula, there's a famous poet who spoke about this. He says, give up all your desires, all your desires, all your desires, he says. And eventually he says, give up your desire even to know the truth. Even to know the truth, he says, give up the desire. Because once all the desire stops, Krishna says, Almanyo Almana Tushta, soul will manifest in its pure form. And in order to, if we get this doubt, suppose if I give up all my desire, why am I living in this world? Because we will ask that question, isn't it? Then our life, will it become like a dead wood without any desires? Will it become like that? In order to clear that doubt from our mind is why Krishna said that word there, Almana Tushta. No, he says life won't become dreadful. On the other hand, you'll be much more in bliss because of the realization of the self. Otherwise, Krishna didn't have to say that to us. Almanyo Almana Tushta. He says, if you have started experiencing the spiritual identity, then the very bliss from the soul will satisfy your all other needs. You will not feel that the life has become a dreadful thing, because we have that fear, isn't it? We are always fearful. Suppose if I take to spiritual life seriously, and if I lose all my material interests in this world, what will happen to me tomorrow? That thought will be there. That's why we tell everyone, don't become too much spiritual, we say, isn't it? We say to them that if I become spiritual, that I may become useless in this world. And what will happen to me? I'll be in distress tomorrow. All these kind of ideas, thoughts will come inside the mind. In order to clarify that point, Krishna is saying, if you genuinely become spiritual, you will be a happy person. Because Almanyo Almana Tushta, Alma has that capacity to supply that happiness, what you need, and supply happiness from the soul is more powerful, Krishna says, than the happiness what you can get from the material life. So, in order to clear that point, Krishna mentioned it like that. Anandarubam Amritam Yad Vibhadi. In the Upanishads, all these statements are there. So, anyone, Krishna says this, that anyone who has got desires is a beggar. Anyone who has got desires is a beggar. He's a beggar. Because he may be driving a very expensive car, he may have a lot of wealth in the world, but ultimately he is a beggar. Because desires have not gone away from inside. Therefore, he is a beggar. On the other hand, one who has no desire, he is an emperor. He is an emperor. There was a famous sannyasi, he lived early 1900, sometimes that time, Ramatirtha. He was a professor, later on took to Vedanta philosophy and realized the truth. And afterwards, he wanders around the whole world with one small bag in the hand. That was his only possession. He had nothing else. And they sent him to Japan for some meeting for religious meeting. When he went there, somebody wanted him to go because he was already very realized his state of consciousness. So he was sent there by some other people. When he got there, they saw him coming without any possessions in the hand. And when they asked him about that, he says, why do I have to carry anything? I am something different than all these things. And whatever that Sharanagati, surrender to the truth, was such that he did not see any necessity to carry anything anymore with him. So the more the more we become that truth, our needs also goes away. Later on from Japan, they sent him to America from there. Somehow he got to America. This was a long, long ago. And Roosevelt was the president in America at that time. By now, he became very popular because of the self-realized state. In his presence, many people felt that spiritual experience. So they were And they have arranged a meeting between President Roosevelt and Ramatirtha, Swami Ramatirtha. Ramatirtha addresses himself as Emperor Rama. He calls himself as Emperor Rama. And the friends advised Ramatirtha not to speak like that to President Roosevelt. So he says, why should I not speak like that? He says, President, who is President? He was not speaking in an insulting way. He was saying that President's position is for 5 years, isn't it? After 5 years, you don't know what will happen to him. But I belong to a kingdom where I am an emperor forever. I don't get replaced after 5 years. That was his point. Point is, when Roosevelt asked him, which empire do you belong to? Where is your empire? He answered Roosevelt, saying to him that you are stuck here in this position as the President of the United States, that you are controlled by that title. You live in that title. I live in the title of the soul. I have no desire anymore to fulfill. I am not a beggar anymore. Whereas anyone in this world who has desires, Krishna says he is a beggar. He is a beggar. Even whether it is United States President or even ordinary man on the street, it is the same thing. There is no difference. Important thing is that Prajahadi yada kaman, as much as we give up our desires or desires goes away from us, that is where we get closer to the truth. Sarvan partham anogadan. Krishna says that will become Atmanyo Atmanatushta. Our attachment, our identity as the soul will become stronger in that way. Just these are all examples in the throughout the history. Self-realized souls means what? They have no possessions in this world. They have no desires. They have to become something. Because they already started seeing the experiencing the truth themselves. So this in interesting discussions between Ramatirtha and Roosevelt is recorded. If you want to read through it, you can go through the we have got everything now, the tools, isn't it? What is it? YouTube. All that, you will find all these things there mentioned. He has written books also, his lectures in America, the compiled books as well. All I'm saying is this, every self-realized soul, when he comes to the spiritual platform and realizations comes to them, first thing happens to them is desires have gone from inside. There's no more desire. They're not making plans anymore. They live in this world waiting for the body to drop. That's all. And during that state, whatever they are experiencing in this world, that's their realizations that's coming out. And that's what they have spoken. That's what they have spoken. And it is then that we recognize our limitations and our foolishness. How miserly we lived in this world and how we didn't get anything out of this world. At the end, we have to, all that we have collected in this world, we leave it here and go away from here in completely in lamentation and regrets. So, Prajahadi yada kaman. Krishna's message to us is this in the second chapter. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan parthamano gadan Atmanye Valmana Tushta Siddha Pratnya Tadochyade. So Siddha Pratnya state is like that, Krishna says, that he will be free from desires and sense gratification. Kaman, the word kamam mentioned there, yada kaman, not only sense gratification but all kinds of desires that is inside, they are not favorable for us. So when Ramatirtha was asked to carry some cash with him, he says, no, I don't want to take any cash with me, because if I start taking cash from anybody, then I won't be able to beg, he says. What I need for that particular time, some food or anything, I can ask others. If they give it to me, I'll eat it. If I eat it, who gets pleased? Krishna is getting pleased inside. This was his realizations. In the Bhagavadam, these things are spoken in two or three words here and there. Bhogai Almanam Almani. There is a word in the 11th canto. Bhogai Almanam Almani. When you are completely fixed on the spiritual platform, even if some sense gratification comes to you, we consider it as sense gratification. For example, eating some nice food or wearing some nice clothes or doing anything which generally people will consider as sense gratification, a realized soul thinks, Bhogai Almanam Almani. It is only Krishna who is enjoying inside. To such an extent, they are free from any thoughts of sense enjoyment. Bhogai Almanam Almani. Every time food goes inside, they are seeing, thinking that Krishna is placed inside. That is why, if you remember, when Jadabharata, after self-realization, when he was sitting as a watchman, isn't it? That was his job. The brothers engaged him to look after the field. Do you remember that thing in the Bhagavatam? He was asked to look after the field. He was employed by them. They said, this person is useless. He is not willing to do any work. And he has got a very strong body. So they decided, that is after the father's death. Bharat Maharaj, after father's death, this has happened. This is in the third birth. First birth was King Bharata. Second was as the deer. And third was Jadabharata. Jadabharata stage. So he was looking after the field. The father has died. And the brothers, they were not very kind to him. They engaged him to look after the crops in the field. So he sits there and he was told to look after the field. So he thought that they have asked me to look at the field all the time. So I kept looking. Didn't do anything else. Even there, he didn't do anything else. So all the animals came and ate all the crop. All the animals came and ate all the crop. But it so happened that because Bharat Maharaj was fixed up in spiritual life, Krishna has to do all the work. That was the problem. Krishna has to do everything for him. So when the harvest was over and when they measured the crop, they found it was much more than what they used to get before. Although animals have come and eaten all the crops. That's one. Number two, when the brothers gave him food to eat, they won't give him any good food. They were thinking this person is simply eating, not doing anything. This was there. They said, what, he doesn't deserve any food. Just like we say in this world, isn't it? He's not doing any service, so why should you give him prasadam? So in the same way, the same mentality. So he says, he doesn't need any prasadam, he's not doing anything, so why should we give him? So in the same way, the brothers decided that he doesn't need anything. So they were, you know what they gave him? They gave him this urad dal after washing the urad dal, that water, they gave him to drink. Uradal, after washing, they gave the water to drink. Similarly, you know, the food they offer to the cows and the animals, whatever the natural food, after that, after it extracting the goodness from that, whatever that is left behind, say for example, coconuts, after you extract the oil and the pulp, everything, there is something that's left out. That's generally given to the cows. Things like that. Similarly, cotton seeds. After you have taken the cotton off, the seeds that falls off, which is waste thrown away, that's given as a food to the cows. Similarly, so many things what we have taken out from that and the rest we give to the cows and the animals. Such things were given to Jadabharat. And Jadabharat was saying, this is what has been given to Krishna today. I will eat that. He will eat that. And saying, completely remembering Krishna, he is taking all this what was given to him. As soon as it entered the mouth, it was like nectar. The taste was nectar. Krishna had to do this for Jadabharata. He was enjoying the meal what was given to him. So, why? Bhogai Almanam Almani. He was not enjoying. He is saying Krishna is enjoying the food. Krishna is enjoying. This is what Krishna has got today and I will offer that to Krishna. To such an extent that their surrender was complete. This is the important message, that whatever they have eaten, whatever they have done, continuously Bharata Maharaj consciousness was always Krishna's memory. Never it left him. Why? Because Tita Pratnyatum was there in him. He mentioned this in the Bhagavatam, you will read that. That in the last two lifetimes, first lifetime, I lost a chance because I fell into this trap of getting attached to the deer. That gave an important lesson to him not to do that mistake again. So when he got the deer's body, even when he was wandering around the Gandaki River, he was still thinking like this, what a mistake have I made before. So again fixed in the Sthita Prajnato stage, that Vyavasaya Atmiya Buddhi had come to him, even in the animal's body. After giving up that animal's body of the deer, when he got back into the body of the Brahmana again, he had the same thought very strongly inside. I'm not going to waste this opportunity again. At least in this lifetime, I should get out of this bodily identity and bodily level of bodily consciousness. That is why he says there that when he came to the last birth in the Brahmana's body as Jadabharata, which is called in the Bhagavatam like that, that although he had so much difficulties imposed upon him by the society, by his brothers, by the person who wanted to sacrifice him as a offering to Bhadragali, that you know that story in the Bhagavatam, all these things by Rahugana, the king, who imposed upon him his understanding of spiritual life and things like that. In all these circumstances, nothing disturbed him. Why? Sthita Prajna Sega Bhasha. He is fixed in his realization. Nothing can touch him. Nothing can touch him. And the result of all that was, Rahugana became self-realized due to the association with this powerful soul, Jadabharata. Other personalities who came in contact with Jadabharata, they also got self-realized. So self-realized soul, who is Sthita Prajna, can do a lot of good to others. A lot of good to others. Otherwise, you can't do anything good to anybody. All our so-called doing good to others is completely on a material platform. But Sthita Prajnatvam brings this special capacity to a person like Jadabharata. We can see that how this has helped him. So, in this situation, Sarveshu Logeshu Kamam Acharya Bhavati, that independence is when one has no desires inside. One who has no desires inside. So, it is after that, he says, a person who has come to that stage, he doesn't surrender to anything. He doesn't have to surrender to anything anymore. It is that independence Krishna is talking about in these words. Prajahadi yada kaman. That independence, what that person is experiencing. Why is independent? Because he has no desires. It's only the desires that makes us dependent on others, isn't it? It's only due to the desires inside that we are dependent on others. But if a person has no desires inside, he is not dependent on others either. So, if all these things, what Krishna has spoken about, if it comes to practical life, what will happen at that time? And that is what Krishna wanted to explain. Prior to that, Krishna is saying there that this happiness, what you will experience, is not in the mind. It's not that you experience it through the mind. When you have identified with the soul, Atmanya Atmana Tushta, that happiness is not through the mind. That is another important thing. On the other hand, it's only the soul experience of happiness being the soul, identification with the soul. So seeing the soul as the soul, it's a spiritual happiness, and that is the state, what they call as the Sthita Prajnato state. And if you say this, then in this verse, Krishna has generally spoken about a person who is all the time absorbed in that thoughts of the soul, or in other words, who is situated on the spiritual platform. So after this, immediately Krishna clarified some things. What was that? If a person is situated in that way all the time, what will happen to him when he deals with this world, when he has to deal with this world, because that is where we have the serious doubt about it, isn't it? We question everything. We say, well, it is because of this only. When we leave the room, we say, well, this is all theoretically. In practical life, it's not possible. We'll say like that, isn't it? And that is what the biggest problem. So Krishna knows that how we are. So knowing very well our nature and our attitude, Krishna decided to clarify straight away what will happen if a person has to deal with the world outside. I'll just read this verse and then we'll stop. If you look into the verse 56, please repeat. Dukveshu anidvignamanaha Sukheshu bhigadaspriha Vidaraghabhaya krodha Stidadhir muni uchyadeem Dukheshu anidvignamanaha Sukheshu bhigadaspriha Vidaraghabhaya krodha Stidadhir muni uchyadeem. Translation: one who is not disturbed in spite of the threefold miseries, who is not elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. A sage of steady mind. Stidadhir muni ruchyade. So we will see this verse tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.